everyone. Welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Radio Bias. Joining me for this episode, he's a podcaster extraordinaire. He is currently podcasting for geeksofdoom.com, Justin Vactor. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Rudy. Yeah.
And I apologize for our listeners for my horrible sound quality. As we are recording, I am in Cleveland, Ohio, visiting my parents and not in New York City, where I have my usual podcasting equipment. So I guess you just have to make do. And again, I apologize. The movie that we're going to be talking about in this episode is a movie that was actually originally slated to come out in November. And then because of kind of good faith from just the way this movie was in the studio, they kind of bumped it to an August release. The movie that we're talking about is The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, a movie that also went through a number of title changes. At first, it was called Caesar, and then it was called The Rise of the Apes, and now it's the title that we have, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which is funny because when I see it on a marquee at a movie theater, it just says Rise of the Apes. Or Planet of the Apes, and I find that to be funny, that they had all this time to make a longer name so people would know what it is, and they just, at movie theaters, they just reduce it to Rise of the Apes. So Justin, do you think that the Rise of the Planet of the Apes justified the early release date, instead of coming out this November, coming out this August?
I actually do. I enjoyed the film a great deal, and I'm not sure if any additional months added to it would have improved or detracted from the film. I think this was a great time to release it. And coming off of my disappointment with Cowboys and Aliens, I really enjoyed Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So it was a great way to end the summer for me.
Yeah, I would agree. I was actually kind of taken aback by this film. I guess not to the fault of the movie, but just kind of to the fault of myself for the kind of conditioning I go through while watching summer movies, because this movie doesn't feel like a summer movie. It feels definitely more thoughtful than that.
Yeah.
And my only criticism of it is that it's not a summer movie, but that's not really a criticism of the movie. That's just how we're conditioned to watch movies. I agree with you that it's a lot better than Cowboys and Aliens. And really, this is actually a good example of how reboots are a good idea. If you take movies like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Star Trek, and J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, and Christopher Nolan's Batman series, you can see that reboots, done if they're done well, they can really be good. But it's just unfortunate that most reboots are not as good as those movies, or even Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Justin, what are your thoughts on Andy Serkis and the motion capture in this movie? I feel a lot of the film is dependent on those elements, and it really does succeed in my book.
Oh, yeah, and he is the star of the movie to me, Andy Serkis, and I've enjoyed his work since Lord of the Rings when he came on everybody's radar as Sméagol Gollum, and going through King Kong and everything else I've seen him in to this point. Even there was a video game that came out last year on Xbox where he did all of the motion capture and he did the voice work as well in it, and playing one of the main characters. And that game I really enjoyed his performance in. And I don't think I've seen him in, or hasn't been any motion capture of his that I have disliked. So it's really Andy Serkis and Doug Jones are kind of the two physical actors that I love, where they don't even have to say a word and they can command my attention. So yeah, I thought his work was great as always in this. Andy Serkis, if they could have a motion capture Oscar award, I'd give it to him every year, every time he's up for it. So yeah, I really enjoyed his work in this movie.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. That's kind of a shame. Since you bring up the Academy Awards, it's kind of a shame, like, a guy like Andy Serkis, who's a brilliant actor, will never get nominated for Best Supporting Actor because most of his work is done in motion capture, when in fact they're capturing his performance and his essence. And you know, a lot of his, especially in this movie, it's all really silent. And it's just really getting his expressions and his facial features and just how he reacts to everything. I mean, I actually like the ape element more in this movie than the human element. Every time they went back to the humans, I was like, oh, I don't like any of this at all.
Yeah, I was the exact same way. And as much as I like James Franco, he can be a very drab actor, very lifeless actor. And I think him and Frida Pinto, who I like Frida Pinto, but I don't even know if her character was necessary in this movie, what her role or purpose was. And I was like you. It was, every time it diverted from the ape storyline or the Caesar storyline, I found myself becoming bored with it.
Yeah, it just seemed like all the human element stuff was definitely very plot-heavy. And not, I'm not going to say it wasn't executed well, but it was definitely not as interesting as this silent performance from Andy Serkis and the apes. And it's one of the cases after I saw this movie, I wanted to know how they made this movie. It's very rare where that happens for me, where I want to watch bonus features, you know, or I want to see a featurette of the making of this movie. And then realizing that there were actually no apes in this movie at all. It was all human motion capture performances, which is astonishing, in my opinion.
Yeah, when I walked out, I was the exact same way. I was like, I want the Blu-ray right now so that I can watch all of the special features on how they did that. And, yeah, kudos to the special effects department. There was some great visual effects in this movie.
Are you a fan of the Planet of the Apes series? What's your background or familiarity with the Planet of the Apes series?
Growing up, I'd always known of it as like a pop culture thing. It was something that permeated and existed, you know, like Star Wars and like other franchises where people know of them. But I hadn't seen the movies until fairly recently. And I actually, I think the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes from 2001 or 2000, around that time, was my first actual experience with the planet, with watching a Planet of the Apes film. But then, yeah, later on I did go back and watch the original, and I enjoyed it for what it was worth. But this wasn't a movie that I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing, this is going to be the best movie of the year. So I was pleasantly surprised. And I have a kind of a passive Planet of the Apes fandom.
Well, I am actually a huge fan of the Planet of the Apes series. Even the Tim Burton one, even though it's a lot of people don't consider it to be a good movie. I mean, it's not a good movie, but I enjoy it because it's Planet of the Apes. Mm. I grew up with Planet of the Apes, and that's one of the things that I'm really geeky about. Even the other Planet of the Apes movies like Escape from Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, and Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Battle for the Planet of the Apes, and even the cartoon series. I love the Planet of the Apes. And so I wasn't really excited about this one because I was kind of brokenhearted by the Tim Burton one, even though it's better than what I... It's definitely not going along with that same storyline that that came from those original movies. But I wasn't really excited about it. But the more I saw these images of it, I kind of was getting a little bit more curious, especially seeing how lifelike these apes were, that they almost feel human, which was even scarier to me. So while watching this movie, I geeked out so much because they reference every Planet of the Apes movie, you know, except the Tim Burton one. that was amazing to me, that they threw in these little nuggets just for fans.
Yeah, I was that was something that I enjoyed because you can – it's something that is so subtle that it doesn't detract from the movie. Let's say if you're not a hardcore Planet of the Apes fans, or if you don't get the references – They don't take away, you don't feel like you're missing anything, but they are kind of nuggets and rewards, like you said, for people who are really big fans of the series. So I really liked all of those that I was able to pick up on in spot.
Yeah, during my screening, I think I was the only Planet of the Apes fan because I was audibly laughing like a lot while they like had these little references. I'm like, hey, that's from that movie. Oh, you know. Like when they had, there's a scene where they cut to a TV and the spaceship is lifting off and it's the Icarus. I was like, oh, that's awesome. That was the name of Charlton Heston's ship in the first movie. And so they had that. And I was like, that's just putting that in for fans was perfect. So in that way, it kind of felt like Star Trek to me. Like how in Star Trek, J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, they had these little nuggets for the hardcore fans, but if you weren't into Star Trek at all, you can still enjoy it. That's kind of how I felt it was like in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that you want to see in a like you said, this is a reboot done right. And reboots, much like I see a lot of similarities in 3D movies, and if I'm not mistaken, you're not a big fan of 3D, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm actually glad this wasn't in 3D. Even though it kind of felt like it was going to be in 3D because there were scenes where They're throwing spears at people, yeah. And it seems like they're throwing the spears at the camera. So it kind of felt like they wanted this movie to be in 3D.
Yeah, I think I can see a similarity with reboots to the current trend in 3D. And Jeffrey Katzenberg recently came out and spoke out about this, where because there have been so many bad versions of this thing, it's left a bad taste in people's mouths. And I think, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, reboots done right, you know, they are a great thing. And that's what I think about good 3D to me is if I see a good 3D conversion, I've always enjoyed myself. And it's not, you know, it's kind of sad that we've had so many terrible conversions that everyone just kind of by default for the most part thinks, oh, 3D is terrible. I don't like 3D. When it's really, it's not black or white to me. I think the issue is much more in between and gray, and it's dependent on, okay, do you have a good theater? Do you have a good, you know, a good experience? Do you have a good conversion? Was the movie shot in 3D? Was it planned for in 3D? So that's kind of how I see reboots as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this past summer we had Transformers 3, and that was really good in 3D. I was glad I saw that in 3D.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing was shot in 3D and it was shot for 3D, so that was good. But stuff like Green Lantern or even Harry Potter, I actually just rewatched Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, and not in 3D. I watched it. This is the second time I'm watching it. The first time I saw it was in 3D. This next time I saw it in not 3D, and it was a fine experience. Mm. But with Planet of the Apes, I am kind of glad that it wasn't in 3D, but I do feel it probably would have been not bad in 3D because of using all the special effects and all the CGI and motion capture. It kind of lends itself to being 3D, but again, I am glad that it didn't. And maybe the box, I haven't seen what the box office is for this movie, but it was on pace to get something like $52 million for the weekend, which is a really good number for this movie. Maybe that number would have been less if it was in 3D, or maybe it would have been more. But right now, I'm glad that The Rise of the Planet of the Apes was not in 3D. And so, like, since this movie is most likely going to do well this weekend, again, I haven't seen the box office for this movie. This is another case where I want to see the sequel. The way this movie ends, it ends in such a way where it leaves you wanting more, and I would not be opposed to more of these Planet of the Apes movies, especially if Andy Serkis is involved.
Hmm. Yeah, that'd be interesting, because when I was watching it the whole time, I was just thinking this was going to be a one-off movie, and I was wondering, okay, are they going to wrap everything up so that this fits in, you know, with the original universe, and if they ended it here, could I then pick up the storyline in the original movie? And I was actually satisfied. I wouldn't be opposed to another one, a sequel to this. I would probably enjoy it as well. But to me, where they left it, I was fine with that as well. And I'm looking up the box office, and Box Office Mojo has it at $54 million right now, domestic, and another $23 million worldwide, so or foreign, I should say. I'm sorry. So bringing the total worldwide to $77.4 million right now.
So did it win the box office this weekend? Oh, very good. So the most likely then they will make another one of these movies. And I'm excited for it, you know. I mean, the flaws of it, having great actors but not really utilizing them. Like Brian Cox is in this movie, for Christ's sake, and he's a great actor. But he's not really used that well at all. And Tom Felton in this movie playing this asshole kind of guard. And watching him in this movie, it just made me think, this guy's always going to play a prick in a movie.
Yeah.
He plays it perfectly, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being very Malfoy-ish and just doing his American accent, which I thought was a fairly well-done American accent. But yeah, that he seems to be carving out a niche now in Hollywood.
Yeah, he's going to play, like, if they bring, like, the Karate Kid movies back to America, he should play Johnny, like the bad guy from the first movie, to fight Jaden Smith or something.
I could see that. That'd be inspired casting. He'd be a lot older, but yeah, that's I could see that. Definitely.
It'd be more of a dick thing to being that old, picking on a kid, I guess.
Yeah. I thought, speaking of the cast, I thought John Lithgow did a pretty good job playing going in and out of Alzheimer's throughout the movie, and then finally disappearing at the end. But I thought he did a good job for what his role was.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was very heartfelt and emotionally engaging, which is really different from what you would usually get in a summer film. Summer films really don't rely on the emotions so much; they rely on action. But when the action comes in this film, it's great action. I actually wish there was more action instead of how long it was at the end of the film.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised how emotionally attached and engaged I was to the story and to the characters, especially Caesar and Ape.
Mm-hmm. And that was great. And I think, like you kind of alluded to earlier in the podcast, by the end, you're totally with the apes. And I wanted the humans to die. I wanted everybody to. I wanted it to be a planet of apes. I don't like you humans.
Yeah, like the part of the movie that really got to me is like definitely towards the end, and I guess spoilers for The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, when Caesar says no. Like my theater was kind of gasping for that when he said no, and you know, it's a talking ape. It's so cool. And then when he says Caesar is home, he just can't help but like feel for that. You know, he has to say goodbye to his father and go on to his family or go on to his home.
Yeah, that part when he said no was my absolute favorite moment of the movie. And I took my parents to see it who were in town, and my mom just screamed with joy when he, yeah! So, there was a couple moments like that I enjoyed just seeing my parents' reaction to it. My dad really enjoyed it as well, and he's a Planet of the Apes fan. So I had a good time. I had a good experience watching this movie in the theater.
Yeah, Justin, I'd recommend watching the other Planet of the Apes movies, the one like the sequels to that original one. I mean, they get really silly as they go on, mm-hmm. but it's a great mythology and a great world that they build, and that's what I like about it. And namely, that it's a time travel movie. These are all time travel movies. That's the one element of sci-fi where you don't think Planet of the Apes is, but it's very much a time travel movie.
Yeah, I was looking on iTunes. I was going to try to rent all of those sequels, yeah, because I've only seen the original and then the Tim Burton remake. So, yeah, I'd like to go check them out. And I was looking at kind of the plot lines on, I think, Wikipedia earlier, and I saw some of the silliness that they go to later on in the series. But, yeah, I'm definitely interested in seeing the rest of them.
All right, so I guess what's your final thought on Rise of the Planet of the Apes? Do you think this should have been a longer title, or was Rise of the Apes just okay for you? Yeah,
it should have been Rise of the Dark of the Moon of the Planet of the Apes, and then it would have been better. But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed my time with Rise of the Planet of the Apes and the ape storyline, and Andy Serkis's motion capture performance really stole the show, and you really care about Caesar by the end of it, and you care about his well-being, which is always a great thing. If a movie can take something that doesn't exist and make you care about it and feel like it does exist in your mind, that is always a great thing. And that's kind of the magic of movies. And Rise of the Planet of the Apes definitely has that. And it'll be interesting to see if this goes on to spawn a lot of sequels or a successful franchise.
Yeah, that's one thing where I wish this is an example of, and why I'm not so opposed to when I keep hearing about reboots. This is a good example of a reboot.
Yeah.
This Star Trek and Batman, these are great reboots, and these are done right. And it shows that they can be done. Like, you can have good reboots if you're into good filmmaking and good storytelling, and good storytelling and good movies will always make money. Those movies make money, this movie will make money, but it's a gamble. It's a big gamble. I know studios aren't willing to take, but, you know, if they roll the dice every once in a while, we could get something good, like Rise of the Planet of the Apes. All right, so let's close out this episode of Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Justin Vactor?
Well, you can find me over at geeksofdoom.com, where I do a movie podcast and a comic book podcast. So please check us out over at geeksofdoom.com. And Rudy, thank you for inviting me onto this, your lovely new Shakya podcast.
Yeah, despite the fact that I have really horrible audio right now. And you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, AutorCast.com, everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. On the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing or talking about 30 Minutes or Less. hopefully that will be a good one. It looks funny.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
It looks really funny and looks really good, so hopefully that's going to be a good one. So closing out, thank you so much for listening to Movie Night. Goodbye.